Hey everybody, my name's Charlie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are the Holiday Bros, and you're listening to the Holiday Bros Podcast.
Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros.
Good tidings to you, Kevin, and to the listeners out there. You're listening to the Holiday Bros Podcast number 13, and on today's episode, we will be reviewing
Trans-Siberian Orchestra, The Ghosts of Christmas Eve. Ah, yes. This has always been one of my favorite things to watch, even though it's mostly just, you know, music. But I do enjoy it.
I never watched it before.
No?
No, I've never seen it. I didn't even realize it was a thing.
Are you serious?
I'm not even kidding.
It came out in 1999.
I know, and that's what baffled me, because I've never even seen it before.
I thought you're a huge PBS watcher.
Nope, I actually hate PBS, especially when they start their give us money bit.
I had no clue. Now I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know. I honestly never did see
it. So wait, did you watch it before the podcast or not?
Nope.
All right, so we're watching it live right now.
That fail, learn time forgives.
What a voice.
Welcome, friends. Please stay a while. Our story starts with one small child.
He's no longer alive.
See, I'm surprised by the 1999 release because for some reason, like Trans-Siberian Orchestra in my head, I know they've been out for a while, but they're more current than 99 to me.
Well, I don't even know if they were actually touring back then. I think this is kind of what, kind of like Yanni, I think this is what set them off. People got to know what they were.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were touring. I think actually they were touring in like 97. Or touring, as some people would say.
I wish they wouldn't.
Yeah, that's Ossie Davis as the narrator. And again, we made a tribute back in the summer, but, you know, rest in peace, Paul O'Neill, who was one of the original creators of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Right, and this was written by Paul O'Neill.
It was.
Yep. And it was directed by Hart Perry?
Yeah.
If you could please send me.
And Robert Kinkle, he's the keyboardist. He's one of the main founders of Trans-Siberian Orchestra as well.
This child arrive into a world where dreams survive.
So, I don't know if you noticed, do you own any of the albums?
I own what was their main Christmas one that came out a few years ago, and then
The Lost Christmas Eve,
right? And then I own another one too. I can't remember what that one was called. Something about an attic.
Well, yeah, the Christmas Attic. I have that one. I think it's the Christmas Attic. One of them, the narration you're hearing is the lyrics to the opening song on that album.
Oh, see, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
So this was a made-for-TV movie?
Yeah. I mean, it's just to kind of showcase their music, but it's about a little girl who runs away from her family, runs into this old abandoned theater in the wintertime, and supposedly falls asleep and has this dream, but you don't know if it's a dream or not. Ossie Davis is the narrator or the caretaker here, and, you know, she kind of falls asleep, and these little Christmas lights go on a tree, which I love that Christmas tree, by the way. And as you could hear, the music just keyed up.
Power
started.
Just getting cranked up.
What was that?
I said the main power was just getting cranked up there.
And now, all of a sudden, there's a band on stage, and this girl's completely confused looking up and watching the Trans-Siberian Orchestra play. So, this is their first song. It's a combination. It's O Come All Ye Faithful and O Holy Night. So, it's a little medley.
It kind of gives you that Home Alone vibe when he's lost in New York, and he's in that tower, and they're watching the PhilharMagic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm a Disney lover, PhilharMagic.
Of course it does. Sort of good.
But a bit gorge.
But what's weird, like, it's weird, especially looking at these guys. I mean, they've aged quite a bit. Their hair's still the same length.
Mm-hmm. I've never had the pleasure of seeing them.
You've never seen them?
No.
I've seen them about 10 times now, I think.
Yeah. So when you see them, it's always... You know, okay, so for the listeners that don't know, there's two TSOs that tour.
Yeah, there's East Coast and West Coast.
Right. So is it always East Coast, is always the East Coast people, or do they switch it up?
Nope, it's always the East Coast. So the narrator that we have is Brian Hicks. I think it's Brian Hicks. He's the narrator for the East Coast. What?
You just made him Irish. And I know. Didn't want.
But he's the narrator for the East Coast, and by far, I think the best one, and I think that's what's more known. You could watch videos on YouTube. There's people that record every single concert of theirs and post them on YouTube. And the West Coast guy is, his voice is just completely different sounding. And again, I guess it's just what I'm used to, but, and they, I think based off this with Ossie Davis is where they wanted to try to mimic that same, feeling. So, just a nice, very deep voice narrator. Looking at him, you know, very close up on the website, looks nothing like he does from a distance, because I'm always sitting in the nosebleed section, because it's actually the best place to watch this because of all the lasers. From a distance, he looks exactly like the butler from Fresh Prince.
Nice. This guy's got the Tom Petty vibe going on.
He does, yes.
And like they keep showing this girl watching them, but it's like they just keep telling her to pose for a senior picture. Like the way she's looking. Yeah, one of the reasons why I've never seen them is can't get Carrie into it.
Not even to listen to the music normally?
Nope.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Now, does she have her reasons?
She just, I don't know. She'll listen to stuff once and then that's about it. She's not a do-over type of person.
Is she not a music person?
Not really, like...
Have you ever seen her sing? I swear I've still never seen our brother Nick sing ever.
Good call. Let me think. I have seen Carrie sing. Now you're having me thinking about Nick.
Think about it. When have you ever seen Nick sing? The only thing that I know he could sing, and Dorothy will always say, is Vanilla Ice. Ice Ice Baby.
No, I picture him doing Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
He may.
I just picture that instead.
I just found out at Thanksgiving. I think he's like our only fan.
Nice. I didn't know that he listened.
Yeah, he was only on the Charlie Brown episode at the time.
That was our first episode or something.
No, Halloween.
Look. So at the beginning, what did it say that this was featuring Jewel?
Yeah, Jewel will be in here. She's one of the people that come, probably like a little angel to help guide her.
Yeah. Now watch.
No, here's what's his name? Caverty. He's from a band called Sabotage.
That's what I was reading about them. Quite a few of them are from that band, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Now see, right there is, look, this is, I mean, I feel like I'm Brett Michael. That might be either Brett Michaels or...
he's very, yeah, pretty young.
Or Michael Brett from Posen.
He does have that look too.
I don't even know if that's his voice. I mean, it could be. I don't know if he was just, you know, doing that for this. But this is Good King Joy is what we're listening to now. This is actually comprised of 10 different Trans-Siberian Orchestra songs, the entire special, if you will. What's so nice is you're going to hear it all in its entirety. If we were on PBS, it would have broken this up into like 4 hours.
Oh man, that stinks. Yeah. 4 hours. That is actually just 40 minutes of music.
Yeah.
Spread across a whole afternoon. So is this like what you would be in the market for if you went to go see them play?
Yeah, I mean, their light show is usually what is improved on every single year, the light show, which is absolutely ridiculous. When they first started, if you see in the background, and it lowered that big blanket back there with all the lights in it.
Yeah.
That was like their only big, that was their signature thing. It was this carpet that came down, and the guy, which they actually, it's part
of
the
holding her hand?
What
was that guy holding her hand now?
He's consoling her.
I didn't think he was holding her hand now. A little too touchy.
Everything we see going on in the news now, you never know.
That's true.
But
the blanket of lights, that was their main staple.
Yeah, so, and the narration that was in here, which is what they use on stage as well for the live shows, where it goes, and our story does. And then the guy would snap his fingers and go begin, and then all those lights would go on, and the audience would be like, "Oh!" But they got rid of the carpet, and now they just use a huge LCD screen with fake stars.
Nice.
Now you would think, I don't know which one's better looking, but
sure, you could do much more with the LCD.
Well, no, you could. But that's the thing. They put all these scenes behind them now, like Night Castle, all this stuff. It's these computerized. I feel like I'm watching AGT. It's these computerized things going on behind the whole concert, and a hell of a lot of pyrotechnics now.
Yeah.
I mean, typically this is what it is. The thing is, though, they keep the same show for about 4 years in a row. So this year again is the Lost Christmas Eve. And as much as I like the album, it's not my favorite concert. I don't care for all the songs that they do in there. I like this one, the one we're watching now, about the little girl that runs away and everything, and the guy that goes to the Old City Bar, which that's one of their songs is Old City Bar, but that's one. That's my favorite story, and they haven't done that one in a while. That's like their original. That's what they did for like 10 years straight before redoing anything.
Now, is that song that you were just talking about? I think that's one of my favorites. That's the one where he's singing about being Carolized.
No. That's
that's not a Just Another Night in New York.
No, that's Electrified in Blue.
Oh yeah, that's I like that song.
Yeah,
has a good sound to it.
It does. Now this is one of those ones that growing up. Again, now I remember watching this in 99 when it was first on, and I actually have it taped on VHS. This is one of those songs that I fast-forwarded. It was like, okay, enough of this. I'll show you another one that I used to fast-forward, and it's actually one of my favorite songs now that they do. And it's weird, I guess, because I was just dabbling in music around this time. You know, this is 99, and I started in, the summer of 98, so it's only been 1 year.
So at this point, you were on the fast forward button.
Oh yeah, it was like Joy to the World. Screw this. And the guy's having too much fun just staring up at the sky. But this gives me one of the. Again, you said you never saw this. This whole special gives me one of those things. Like, I want to be that girl. I want to be the runaway, and I want to be in this this dream.
You just want all this happening to you.
I do. And it's so weird to see all the container light or whatever they call them. I forgot the name.
Canister.
Yeah. Thank you. Canister lights. You know how hot that stage has to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything now is all LED and everything on their shows. And lasers galore.
Ooh, a tip of the cap to you, ma'am. There's a fog pouring off of that stage.
And that's the best, is the fog.
If you wonder why she showed no fear when all these strange things did appear, perhaps in truth she was asleep.
Look how big those hands look.
Dreams and hers to keep.
That's the thing. Is this a dream?
But whether asleep or
he gave her the gift, but now watch. He wants nothing. He doesn't want her having it now. Hey, give me that back, honey. Just watch.
You pay attention. No. That's mine.
Do you know that instrument right there? It might be hard to see.
A recorder.
It is.
You watch the man with a recorder.
All right, here's Jewel singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Can't help but stare at her chest every time she takes a breath in.
See, I can't see it that clear. I was hoping I'd catch a glimpse of the snaggletooth.
Oh, you'll see that, but you'll see the chest. Watch, there'll be a nice close up.
Yeah, I just saw a commercial last night. She's doing some Christmas concert in Hershey.
Well, she's another one that doesn't look anything like she did back then. All right, watch. Keep an eye. Might be a little blurry. Filling up.
No. Yep. Never mind. Nice. What a doll.
Thing is, though, she's never actually toured out with them, as far as I know. This is just something that she did for this special.
Yeah,
but it is on their albums. It is her singing it.
Yeah, I don't know who she's with for this thing she's doing, but she'll be up in Hershey a couple days before Christmas.
Guess who's going to be around here too soon? I love it. I saw something yesterday. It said the Highwaymen, and it showed a picture of Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash. I'm like, well, two of them are dead.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to, but I guess it's a cover band.
Oh, that sucks. Look at that Charlie Brown tree.
Yeah.
She wearing
bottoms? But again, I love those bulbs. I am so inspired. That's what I have on my tree. Now, there I think C9s. I use C6s because the C9s are made for outside. They get hot.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of the big bulbs, the big nice transparent colored bulbs.
You mean those two bulbs that were just right there?
Colored lights matter.
That was the look of concern.
It was. Now watch Cafferty's. Look at that stretch on the neck. Can you see that? It might be hard.
Yeah. It's crooked.
No, but watch, like, right here. Like, he's like a good four frets. There's five frets. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I thought you were talking about his neck, his actual neck.
Oh, no.
Because that was crooked looking.
Speaking of which, I think because I had put on the Holiday Bros Facebook page, because I had mentioned Sam Elliott, we all of a sudden started getting advertisements for Sam Elliott. And one showed, there's a video on Facebook, it said, watches Sam Elliott aged over the years, and it shows just him morphing. His head just keeps getting longer and longer. It's almost where he looks like a T-Rex. It was just, I think, an advertise. It probably only would have been on my computer anyway, but
yeah.
I should have recorded it and sent it to you.
That'd be funny if you said all of a sudden he followed us, was like trying to communicate. Oh, salute.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Me either.
So a little bit more story in between.
This guy's very demanding. He's like, you, here.
All right, so this right here, it would be Trans-Siberian's signature song. And would again. Coming up. Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 12:24. As soon as the guitar starts during the concert, the whole audience goes nuts. They play this sometime in the middle, and this is how they end every show.
Is that supposed to be her?
No. Because she's looking at this girl. Okay. And you'll see after this scene then what happens. The one thing with their concert, like what you're hearing, the string section, they're actually local musicians. Every venue they go to, they get local musicians from one of the local orchestras to play. So the band, like the whole string section, with the exception of their violinist, are all local musicians. So every single city they go to, they have a different string section.
That's cool. Yeah, it makes sense too, because then you don't have to bring people along with you or equipment.
Yep.
Especially with strings, I'm sure that's a couple truckloads of stuff.
Yeah, you should see Yanni's hall.
Is that what you're calling it?
Well, I thought they lugged a piano everywhere. They don't. They just get a piano from a local Yamaha store.
You're right. So, Yanni seems like the kind of guy that would be in his rider, in his rider, like to play there. But I need a bowl full of blue M&Ms, a new piano, and a pair of white Nike high top.
That's some good piano.
Well, look at that little girl jamming out.
I know. Well, she's conducting. And then the conductor will just give her a look of just... like, he's, like, looking at her like, you're so precious.
That guy has a look of... what's his name? From the Highwayman.
Yeah, Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah. Big Top Pee Wee.
Yeah, another one that I think is dead.
Is he? Yeah, I guess he is.
Willie's the only one around. I mean, I guess that's what weed does for you.
Maybe.
See, this video, though, is weird. Like, I'll show all these politics and, like, war going on, all this stuff. I mean, the thing is, though, this part of the concert with the original storyline, they talked about war, they talked about Budapest and all this stuff going on. And in the middle of war, somebody heard a lone cello playing a forgotten Christmas melody, and then that's where they begin this song.
Look at her pretending she's Snoopy. She's up on top of Schroeder's
Snoopy,
piano.
It's more like I get a Fantasia vibe.
No, I said picture Snoopy standing on top of Schroeder's piano.
Oh, yeah. And her living room's so cozy. I want to sleep there.
I like the little kitty.
Nice house in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. Kind of looks like the house in the Polar Express.
Yeah.
Are you down there, honey? What's the noise?
Do you ever want to have all those trees around you or not?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't mind it at all. I like to cut trees down. Oh, boy. She's packing it in. Christmas is over.
She doesn't want to get caught.
Yeah, I know. Look at her. That little... to work.
mother took an hour to open the door, but...
Oh, everything's good in here. I don't know what I just heard. Here, have a blanket. That's such a stage room.
It is. Oh. You can see, like, the walls split in the back.
Someone throws a cat in the door. Oh, God, she's out. Look at that little hair fracture, or the hair things in the film. That's letting you know it's old. Oh, she just fist pumped, or like fist pumped. She's like, yes! Whoa, you're here! I knew she came out and gave her a hug. I said that before.
Going to another dream. Well, here's a fan favorite, Christmas canon.
Oh, yeah.
And every dream that herein sleeps has a child.
Now, this one's good. This one gives me, because the fog machine's really rolling in this one.
That had such a horror movie vibe right there.
Yeah, it looks like fog.
Oh, she's joining in. Oh, boy. Now it makes sense. Do you think these are the real kids singing it? Where are these kids? Who
Probably
sang
not.
This? No, those chompers.
Oh, they focus on her a lot. The one on the very end, Dad always thought looked like Carrie. Not your Carrie, but Carrie. So there's the girl that came out. Now this song is in this is canon in D. Pacabella's canon in D, just turned into Christmas canon. And the Christmas canon rock version where the guitars and everything play, that one's in the key of A. But look at that fog rolling off the stage.
I like it. The lighting's just great.
Too.
Pouring right off like a waterfall effect.
Uh-huh.
See, now seeing this through the computer, I'm gonna have to watch this live a little better, where it's more clear.
It's a good little special. Maybe you could get Carrie into it.
She'll never watch it.
There's you not knowing what's going on.
Yeah. Trimming the Christmas tree.
They do cut off just a little bit. The string should play again if it was the actual song, but it's like a radio edit there. I think almost everybody in the world loves this song. I mean, I can't, like, canon and D in music, a canon is a repeating bass line, and that's what this song is. Again, by Pachelbel. And they just took it and added some lyrics to it, made it a little bit more, I don't know, gives you a Christmassy feeling, but
yeah,
that's pretty much it. And those old songs, they're not copyrighted. It's all open domain, or public domain.
I like this song. I think it's just... This song, out of any of them, kind of give me, and this, I know you're going to hate this, gives me that Peanuts Christmas vibe.
Yeah, I definitely hate that.
But just picture the kids singing.
That's what Bridget wanted to watch tonight, and I told her absolutely not.
Let her watch it.
No, we watch Frosty instead.
Do you want to know something? Just to go back on this Charlie Brown thing real quick while we're talking about it. One thing that you probably never noticed, like Woodstock is not in that movie. Peppermint Patty, there's a lot of people that aren't in it because they weren't around yet. Like, Woodstock wasn't invented till 5 years after that special came out.
Yeah. It's like a lot
Same
of
thing
cartoons.
With Franklin.
I keep saying, if I knew anything about cartoon and actually writing, I would like to do a cartoon where the kids actually age.
Yeah, what the heck? I thought I saw something that did that. Well, besides every Real People TV show. But I thought there was an animated show that did that.
Like, I would love an actual timeline. Like, imagine where Family Guy would be right now. Chris would be in his 30s. I don't know. Imagine. I mean, I get it. Once you have established characters, you don't want to screw with them. But I think it'd be cool to kind of do something different.
It'd be funny if, like, every year the season finale... You just age them a year appropriate.
Yeah.
Just one episode, you know what I mean?
What, they're just standing there and you just see them morph into the new thing? Oh,
no,
see y'all next season.
No, so like just picture the whole season, just a regular episode, but then the last
literally
one,
they morph every, like, a
yes.
little, like.
So I'm saying, like, just say The Simpsons, year one, Bart's 8 years old. Then the next year, you go through Bart being 8 years old, but then the last episode, he's 9. Then the next season, he's 8, the whole thing. Last episode, he's 10. So you just do one episode where he ages appropriate. be kind of funny.
He handed her a program.
I don't know if I'd like
from
that.
A show that was long gone.
So this is All Holy Night featuring Michael Crawford. Do you know who Michael Crawford is?
The name doesn't sound familiar, or that picture.
He was the original, but with the musical. He was the original Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So he's known for all the Phantom stuff. Music of the Night, all that stuff.
Like for writing it or for performing?
No. He was like the, what's his name? He wrote Seussical, all that other stuff. What the hell's the guy the playwright who wrote, he turned the Phantom of the Opera was a story, and then this guy turned into a musical. And fans out there would kill me if I, hold on.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, well, now it's going to bother me.
Well, don't say it. Let me think.
All right, I got it. Thank you.
Something Marshall, right? No. Gary Mark?
Nope.
Then I don't know. That was my only guess.
Still thinking?
No, that was my only guess. Gary
Andrew Mark. Lloyd Webber.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Because comedian Paul F. Tompkins does an Andrew Lloyd Webber impression.
Oh. And Sarah Brightman was Christine. So those two are the originals.
Then who's Gary Marshall?
I don't know. Wasn't he like the... What you talking about, Willis Kidd or something?
No, Penny Marshall's brother. Penny Marshall from Laverne and Shirley.
Do you like, I mean, I know like you have your, like, do you like Christmas music? I mean, are you, I think you are, but I mean, are you obsessed with it like Kelly and I am to the point of, like, you know, even a lot of classics, like, you enjoy listening to them?
Let me put it this way. That's really the only Christmas day, or the only music station that I play in the house year round is Christmas music. That's all I listen to.
Well,
if I'm not listening to like a
I know
podcast,
Sirius was free this past week. Affirm my reasoning for leaving that place. Like that Holly station is complete garbage now.
Is it? Yeah, I love Christmas music, and one of the things that this song reminds me of now, just hearing it, is from Home Alone when he goes to the church.
That's my favorite scene. That's actually also Chris Columbus's favorite scene too.
Yeah, that is by far my favorite thing in Home Alone, and I just said that again the other day when we were watching it, and Aiden told me he hates that scene because he hates church singing. It's creepy.
I think I may have even fast-forwarded that as a kid, but I appreciate the O Holy Night. O Holy Night is my favorite Christmas song, and so I really do enjoy it. And it just gives me a good feeling. The wreath on there, like that whole thing. I've looked a lot about that church. There's two churches that they're kind of similar. To that, but obviously the inside of that church was not that church that we saw on the outside. They're completely two different churches.
Yeah, a lot of stuff does that.
Have you ever watched like on AMC when they would have Home Alone on with the extras and it would show all the other like all the little tidbits and goodies about it?
Yeah, like pop-up video style.
Yeah,
like a couple years ago I think they were doing that I watched it.
Yeah, Home Alone's a good one to watch that stuff with.
Look at that stance.
I just watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for the first time like a year ago.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
The only reason I watched it is because when I had Sirius, Richard Christie, he said that's one of his favorite. And I'd listen to Howard Stern, and Richard Christie said that's one of his favorite movies, and he always cried at the end. And I'm like, what the hell are you crying about with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Now that's the Home Alone house in that movie as well.
Yeah. Kind of looks like my assistant CEO. Maybe it is.
It's giving you the middle finger.
It is. He holds this note for like an hour. My PBS had to break it up into four different segments.
That'd be the best if they broke this part up into two segments.
And before it, yeah, and the break, there's commercial, then right after, another whole break.
Yep, they just come back and he's just still holding that note.
All right, so this one, because it's diving right into it, this is the one I used to fast forward all the time, especially with this mm-hmm. guy's Snaggletooth. Mm-hmm. But it's one of my favorite songs in theirs now. It's called Music Box Blues. When we sat next to our first tree, ornaments
reflected light of a candle. Look at that drape behind his head. And I gave you
a music box. This is from the Christmas Attic, so if that's the one you have this. You have this song. Now, the guy who sings this, who you're looking at, is Daryl Pettiford. About 2 or 3 years ago, when Mike and I were down in Philly, we noticed they had done a tribute and everything, and he ended up dying from a blood disorder. So what they did that year, it was the year that he died,
mm-hmm.
they played this song musically live, and they took his audio track, and they played it, and they had a microphone in the middle of the stage with a light on it, and that was it.
Yeah.
So the orchestra and everybody played the music, but it was the vocal track on top of it all then.
It's a nice tribute. Yeah. That's pretty. I mean, for people that were probably really invested in him as a singer, probably brought a tear to their eye.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was good. I mean, they did a very nice tribute. And now girls, women sing this song. It's Lisa Levine now who sings it, and she's one of Yanni's singers as well, but... she does a very good job, but they always say they can't hold a candle to Daryl for what he did with this song. But again, I used to fast forward this song all the time. I literally just started listening to it a few years ago.
Nowadays, though, if they did this, they would probably just project them up there as a, what you call it?
Oh, yeah, hologram.
A hologram.
They probably could. They could probably take all this stuff right here and do it. I just put a mullet on Tupac.
Did he get those pants at the Gap?
I always thought that shot was weird. I pretend that I can sing like this guy, but I can't.
You try in the shower when no one's home.
Getting used to burn.
I think they gotta tell those girls not to come back next year.
I'll tell you what I get a trashy feeling, though, is the backup singers for this song. They're gonna show them exclusively here in a little bit.
Oh, that's what you call it. Simply irresistible vibe right there. Look at them, the same dresses, swinging the arms the same. Simply irresistible.
The girls here look like they're 2 shots away from a good time.
Just airing out right there. That's the guy.
She reminds me of the one broad that I took home from Umbriax with Dave. Dave was so nervous because she was drunk and she wouldn't get out of the car because she was gonna drive home. And I said no. I said, and Marcy was like, "These boys will take you home." So I drove. I told Dave sit in the back in case she tries anything funny, so he could grab her. And she wouldn't get out of the car. She wanted to repay me, and by taking us into the bar and getting us a drink. I was like, and she had a 6-pack with her too. I was like, no, just go. She's like, nope, I'm not going anywhere. And Dave goes. Dave, like, she's drunk. Even though Dave was loud enough, Dave goes, "Kevin, what the fuck did you do?"
Yeah,
in the Subi. It was snowing outside too. It was pretty bad out.
Just opened the door.
Well, she got out. She's like, "Well, I'm going in. I'll be right back." And she had her purse and her 6-pack. Dave goes, "Hurry up, toss it out the window." So I just opened the door and I quickly threw them out. And I started to drive, and she turns around, going, "Hey!" And I just took off. I got her to where she wanted to go. I was supposed to take her home, and she makes us take her to the Coal Cracker.
Yeah, that's where she belonged.
I think it was the Coal Cracker. Or was it... What's that place? Paul's Parents Bar. Though I don't think they own it anymore. It's on Alter Street. The most magical thing about this night. But yeah, it's a good song. We will this one promises to keep. They do sing this one live. This is the only time I've ever heard it by a bunch of little kids singing it. And for some odd reason, they put the words on the screen. Guess in case you want to sing.
Either that or because the kids don't know it.
Yeah.
So this song is sang by other people normally then on the album?
No, you could get this version on the album, but there is a version of a woman singing it, and it's very heavy, like guitars and everything.
Oh, I don't care about her weight, but the so is there, so that's actually two recordings of
this song. Yeah, just like Canon and D, or Christmas Canon. There's Christmas Canon, which we heard on here, with the kids singing, and then Christmas Canon Rock is with the women singing and the guitars. This is where guitars would kick in. That's some good chord progressions in this song. It's another, the whole thing, I like all the songs on this. A little special. But again, this whole entire time, this girl who ran away, she's there with, you know, the caretaker and just watching this whole concert and just getting some nice homely Christmassy feelings. And
so if she's sleeping, though,
homey,
I mean, this
homey feelings.
Good then.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, we have to assume that this is all a dream. And you'll see how it wraps it up. They're not going to let you get away with thinking, you know, this isn't a dream.
That's a fake keyboard push in there.
Well, there's also a delay. It might have been. That could have been.
I was gonna say it looked like his fingers were just laying on the keys and he wasn't pushing them.
All right, look, she's getting cozy now in her seat.
Oh boy, she's wrapping up. Why is it on a special when someone has a dream, they wake up from it and then they end it by going back to sleep and waking back up?
Yeah, I know.
Is that just to remind us that they're sleeping?
Probably. That she never actually woke up as we think she did.
It'd be great if that guy just turned over and smacked her. Get up!
Disrespectful bitch.
Get up, this isn't over yet.
Now see, this part always gives me a dirty feeling. So here she is in this nice warm area. Now the screen kind of got blurry there, so that makes you think something just changed. Like all those kids are gone.
I would love if he just reached into her pocket and took her wallet. Just walked away.
But watch what wakes her up. It gives me a dirty feeling. This is like the sunlight on a Christmas tree.
Rubbing on her cheek.
This is like sunlight on a Christmas tree feeling right here.
Oh, boy. No, don't do it. Don't unplug it. Ugh. You just freaking fried
him. Now she's probably freezing. It's probably absolutely cold in there again.
Yeah, they put everything into a blue hue, so she's cold.
The whole stage and everything of this theater is completely in shambles again. But we open up this diary that the caretaker left her. And there's a note. And it says, upon this night, it is never too late. And then there's $500. But look, I didn't realize those new bills were around in 99.
I think that's funny money. It was like the size of a book.
Well, I think I just read something, I guess, by law. Dollar bills in shows either have to be 150% the size or 75% the size of original bills. The things we do in
life. She just jumped the turnstile.
Imagine, I would go with 75%. Imagine 150. That means the bill's 50% bigger than, or
yeah,
2.5 times bigger.
Far away, now reflecting in its light.
All right, so now what we're seeing here is we're back in the theater. Never really left, but the girl left. She left the theater. She realized she has to get home, so she's using that $500. And this is a song, the last one I heard was called Promises to Keep, I think I mentioned that. But this one is called This Christmas Day, and this is about the little girl coming home now. And that, I believe, no, that's not Paul. That's not the guy who died.
That's, what you call it? Raymond. Everyone loves Raymond.
It looks like he has black eyes, though. Another voice I try to imitate.
Wishes in disguise. And all the
He does have the dark set eyes.
Now, this was another one that I used to fast forward. Actually, as soon as the caretaker stopped talking before the song started, that's usually when I hit stop and hit rewind and got up for the night. I was like, all right, I'm done with this. So tell me, Christmas, are we kind? More this day, I have an air freshener, and it sprays every 36 minutes. It smells exactly like the soldier candle wax soapy thing in Mom's bathroom.
Aiden blows up if he ever smells those things. He has really bad asthma and stuff, so those are no good for him.
Just a sniff. Alright, so there's that same father. This guy who sings is the father of this girl, mm-hmm. as we learn in the picture. But we also see here where she finally comes home.
Well, look at that. So can't he just say to her, it's a dream? It was a dream. I'm here. I'm not there singing right now.
Thing is, they're putting up the lights. Like, I would like to think she only ran away that night, like after dinner. Mm-hmm. She only went to a friend's house. It's only been like 2 hours. But
and on the way to the friend's house, she saw an abandoned
theater. I don't know. They're casually just putting up a tree and decorating, and their little girl's gone. Like, I don't know what. I want to know what the time length of this runaway was.
Yeah, they must have just thought she was in her room.
And that's just how they greet each other every day, with a big hug.
No, they're like hugging her really tight, thinking, well, we didn't even know you were gone. Just trying to make her feel good. Because she learned a lesson. I couldn't hear it. Is there actually clapping in that part of the song?
No, just a snare.
All right. Because for the listeners, there were the backup dancers were clapping.
A heck of a lot of fake snow.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
They do that during the concert too. I stood under it. I a couple times I was on the floor where you get snowed on. All it is soap shavings.
I was gonna say, is it plastic, soap, mashed potatoes, or coconut?
Yeah, no, it's soap.
In A Christmas Story, they used mashed potato flakes. Can you imagine if it rained?
I would just be out there with a spoon.
That'd be fun if you, yeah,
KFC
but just
gravy.
Picture like in parts of dirt where it was like a little wet and then it got muddy and then you have muddy mashed potatoes.
Oh. Pawn it off as gravy.
Gross.
There's those backup singers again looking for a good
time. This is the longest hug in history.
It is.
And so, our story is over. And it's time to take our leave. But may God keep you and protect you on this and every Christmas Eve.
You see his nose?
Mm-hmm.
Picture that one California raisin that gets his nose waxed. Yeah. It's all red and shiny.
Oh, look, you notice the plug's unplugged?
Oh, boy.
Yep. Trying to trick us. The lights just turned back on the tree. Now, this is actually the 10th song. Because for as short as this was, the credits go on for like 2 hours. And it's called First Snow. This is one that they play. This is one they use the lasers a lot with. And when the snow falls, I get whatever the material they use, the soap or whatever, when the lasers hit it, it literally looks like twinkles, like magic, like on a like you'd see in a cartoon. Floating mm-hmm. down. It actually looks really cool when the lasers hit it.
Jewel as herself.
But yep, this is the credits now that are rolling. So this was Trans-Siberian Orchestra's The Ghosts of Christmas Eve. Good title.
It was pretty good. So in your mind, was it a dream? I'm going to have to say it is because her dad was there singing the last song. Had to be.
Well, I think that's almost like a different time frame. Not even a time frame. That's just a separate entity. Or that was the dad dreaming.
Oh, true. Maybe everything was from his point.
Yeah, maybe like his girl ran away and he realized he can now pursue his dreams to become a singer. I don't know.
Or in like the whole special just ends panning back and it's just him sleeping like on a pillow with a big smile on his face, nodding his head yes, but he's asleep.
Yeah. Now they do, if I remember, they thank some things in here that I don't know if it surprised me or if it was just like, oh, okay. It would be near closer to the end here, but you know, with certain special thanks, I believe. I believe this was an actual theater that they made it look like it was all torn up and run down.
Now they're thinking on the grips, the key grips.
A hair grown Inmach. Or Haron.
Barton Chu. Some good names.
We should have done like a Whose Line It Is In Anyway, which I thought was the stupidest skit ever. Where I can just read the credits. I always wondered what it's like to play, like, even something like this, all the strings, all this stuff, like, they had to play in time with the music. That means they were listening to the music while they played. Do you think anything was even plugged in, or do you think it sounded like complete shit to anybody not hearing the actual audio of the music?
That's probably, yeah, it probably did just sound like a bunch of banging and clapping and smacking.
Like, think about it, the electric guitars probably had nothing coming out of them, like.
Unless they all just had earpieces in that they heard everything in. Yeah, that would be weird just picturing, like, watching this whole thing and not hearing it, but, you know, not hearing it amplified.
That's, I mean, when I look at half the movies and everything, let me see here, the special thank yous, everything done in green screen, I'm just like, yeah, all right, so maybe I completely lied about any thank yous.
Probably. That was probably you just standing up at the end and saying thank you to people.
Yeah. Thank you for watching this with me. Distributed by Fox Family. Not bad, not bad. Oh, and then
so
they throw this at you.
Do they re-air this every year?
What?
Do they air this every year?
Yeah, it was just on last week. But here's the thing. The special shows this all over again, just like they do in the concert. They replay. This is still the same thing. I didn't rewind anything. They literally play Christmas Eve Sarajevo all over again.
Any reason for that?
Not a clue. This is just how the special is written. Probably because it's their signature. But we're not going to listen to it all again. Slowly.
That's like the album cover right there or something, isn't it?
Yeah, with her opening it up, it is, yeah. Alright, we're just gonna shrink this down now.
Alright, well, while we're shrinking that down, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. We'll bring you this classic Christmas commercial from 1999.
Then the trucks came over the hill, each one covered in...
Were you a fan of the Coca-Cola Christmas commercials?
With the polar bear?
No, this one had one of my favorite bits that they did. This one had like all the tractor trailers on the road that were all covered in Christmas lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning of the commercial, it shows like a grandpa and a grandson sitting on a chair in the living room and they're reading a Christmas story or doing whatever. But they both like look over at the fireplace and all of a sudden the front of the fireplace morphs into the front of a tractor trailer and it busts through their wall. But it's not it's done really cool, like, and that's what starts the whole thing. But then it's like just a whole train of tractor trailers covered in lights, and that's kind of why the sound of the song is like kind of train like because you always hear it's like like the tone of it. Just picture like a train because they're driving up the road like a train. I'll play it again for you if you want to see it while we're doing it. But
no, I know what you mean because I do remember some of them, especially with the driving of the way, because you'd see like all the tractor trailers like in the distance then with all their lights on.
Yeah.
But
the best one on that is just the way the one morphs out of the fireplace. I don't know.
See, now I don't know if it's you that I think it was Kelly, but the polar bear ones, I used to just get this feeling of like the Coca-Cola having like a nice creaminess to it. Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah.
But the polar bears always made that Coca-Cola just taste creamy, especially with their nice bear-like,
See, you say creamy, but I'm going back to my Sam Elliott thick.
Well, and I was going to say it also sounded like Sam Elliott with the You're late. Christmas comes in November around here.
Did you ever go back and watch any of his other show on Netflix or anything?
No, no. But I did watch some of the extra. Well, yeah, because I had to grab some of those clips. There's some good ones in there. You're right. I should have had those ready for the podcast at and you know live, but everybody got to hear it anyway since I did it in post.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So that with that being something new that I've never seen before, the one that we just watched, I enjoyed it, but I don't know if I can convince the other people to watch it. Like, I'm the only one that would sit and watch that.
I'm the only one that watches anything. Aaron refuses to watch any Rankin and Bass. And
what's her reason for that?
She thinks it's ridiculous. She's like, you guys growing up watch crap. She's like, they grew up on like The Godfather and things like that and things we would never be allowed to watch.
Do you think it's funny though that like all of us are married to people that hate everything?
We married people that don't like us or like our interests.
They all need to get together.
I know.
Just alone to watch our Christmas specials in the summer.
Just let us meet up together for all Christmas and watch. Just watch it with mom and dad, the six of us, nobody else. Even Bridget, I was like, what do you want to watch today? And she said, she was looking at, you know, I had all the stuff up on Plex, and she's like, oh, Charlie Brown Christmas. I go, we don't have that. She goes, yes, it is. It's right there. And I was like, damn it.
Tricker.
And I said, how about something else? She's like, okay. And I said, how about Frosty? And she's like, all right. So we watch Frosty, but she's not in, you know, I don't know. She's not into it. Like, I think Aaron's putting it all in her head, maybe. Stay away from Rankin. Now, the one that I did put on the other day, and I watched it 2 years ago just to say that I watched it, but it's probably the worst Rankin and Bass ever, and I had it on for like 2 minutes. It's like, I can't take this crap anymore.
Which one?
The Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute worst. And the Drummer Boy's a complete prick.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
Oh, horrible. My favorite is The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. I watch that like twice every Christmas season. My absolute favorite, Rankin and Bass. But that's where one of my beard bombs and oils that I made, the name came from, called the Great Ack.
yeah, I like Rankin and Bass stuff.
Now, do you... what was I going to say with it?
They don't really air that on TV too much anymore.
No, well, they always, like, Santa Claus is Coming to Town was on the other day.
Yeah.
And they always play the year Without a Santa Claus.
Maybe they do, because then I think maybe I've seen Jack Frost and stuff like that. So maybe they do.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
I'm Mr. Sun.
I'm Mr. whatever.
I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch. Right, wrong show, I guess. But now for you, I mean, you're gonna watch it in person. It might be a little bit different. For anybody not knowing, this is kind of the audio is already in for us. But I had the camera pointed for Charlie because I don't have the ability yet to figure out what the best way for us to watch something together since we're 2 hours away. So we just used it with he watched it through the video camera and I synced up the audio as best I could. So he watched it through a video camera on a computer screen.
Some of the visuals were blown out, but yeah. I'll get up later and watch it.
Do you think, are you confident enough to say, I don't know. All right. Do you have, like I do, do you have a Christmas rotation? Not saying it has to be in the same order, but are there movies every year that like, you're like, all right, I need to make sure I watch this.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're movies I'll watch all year round anyway. Like, I always have to watch, obviously, Home Alone 1 and 2, and then Elf. And then...
I hate Elf.
I love it. But then I'll watch, like, what's coming up, the 25 Days of Christmas on Freeform.
It's starting tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yep, it is. And whatever's on there, I'll just watch it. But I don't have any that I'll... Like,
And I don't think I'd mind putting stuff on in the background, but like in TV. But if I wasn't ready to watch it, though, because I'm very anal, and again, it's the OCD that I like to watch it at certain times, mm-hmm. I'd be like, no, can't watch it now. And like Mickey's Christmas Carol, I usually don't watch that until closer to Christmas. It's one of the last things that I watch.
Yeah.
And it almost came on the other day, and I was like, nope, turning this off. But like this is one of the things that's in my rotation. I used to usually watch it like the Friday because I the last 10 years I've been going to Trans-Siberian every year. This is the first year I'm not going to. And I would usually watch it the Friday before I go down to the concert.
It seems like they're showing in this area earlier and earlier every year. I remember years ago they used to be like really mid-December-ish. And to me, that would feel like a good time.
Well, earlier would have been a little bit better. They've been doing later and later now for the Philly show. That's the one I've been going to. And now this year, all the ones locally, like Hershey, Philly, I think even Wilkes-Barre, they're all on a Sunday this year.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's impossible.
I mean, they play Sundays everywhere, so I guess I get what they're doing. They're trying to probably give the other Sunday cities
somebody's
a Saturday.
Up. Right.
But, man, oh, man, like, that would have been... Now, you know, Mike's off for work or, you know, for the wintertime, so he would have been good, and I could have just taken a personal day. But even taking a personal day, it's you know, knowing that the next day would be a Monday, that's rough. But every year I always, you know, we do our little tradition. We go to, it's just the two of us, you know, call it what you want, but we go to Dave and Buster's, we play video games and drink, have a good old time. Then we head over to the concert and, sober up.
Did you just meet up for video games and drinking without TSO this year, or you didn't even
do
it?
We're going to do that in the spring because we're not able to go this year because everything going on with Finnegan. So, there, it's what, December 17th, I think, is the concert this year for them, whenever that Sunday is. Yeah, the 17th. The one year it was the 21st. That was disgusting. That was, yeah, you're pushing Christmas time right there.
Yeah, that one's really close.
Yeah, that was rough, too, for Mike. You know, he wasn't sure if he could get off, but he pulled it off. Yeah, we do Dave and Buster's and then go and see them and everything. It's just a great day, just a great fun day. And Dave and Buster's is a cool place. I like it.
I guess before we wrap this episode up, we should have, I don't know if we mentioned it at the beginning. I did make a mistake on the last episode, and I said it was episode number, did I say it was 11?
You
and
said
it was
11 again. It was actually 12.
Yeah, it was actually episode 12. I looked at my notes. I wrote 11. That's why I said it on accident. So this is episode 13, but it's also the first episode in the month of December that we're going to be pumping out a few episodes this month as well.
Yep, and today is currently November 30th. Something else we didn't mention at the beginning, which we usually do.
Yep. So we Thanksgiving already happened. Tomorrow's your first day on your advent calendars, but for the listeners, it won't be tomorrow, but you get the point.
Yeah. So this coming Monday, December 4th, which again, it's not going to matter because you're already hearing this either on the 4th or after, but the 4th, 11th, 18th, and 25th are going to be the 4th again, to reiterate from last time what we're doing. Next week will be the Polar Express. The week after will be... A Christmas Claymation Celebration, which is the actual full name. I think growing up we just called it Christmas. I mean, you know, the Claymation Christmas. I don't think right. And a lot of people call it California Raisins Christmas. But and then after that, we're going to do a nice old tribute on Christmas Day, and that will be for A Christmas Story, which I think will be a good, nice end to the month of December for our Hollytacular.
I agree. So for the next episode, make sure you guys get yourself a nice glass of hot chocolate.
Never, ever let it cool.
So that'll be a good one.
And actually, if you're willing, we could schedule this right now. The fans don't care. if you want to do this tomorrow, I'm good.
All right. We'll see. I got to see what's going on. I'll let you know.
If
I'll
not, it has to be Saturday. So.
All right.
And I'm already ready for that one.
All right. Was there anything else you wanted to touch down on this episode, or we're about?
No, not really. It's like I said, this is one that's in my rotation every year. I enjoy it. I enjoy Christmas music. Trans-Siberian's I know it's, some people might say it's trendy, but I think they do a really great job of bringing rock into a lot of Christmas classics, especially when they first started out. I mean, these guys, they're still very popular, but holy crap. I mean, they were kind of taking over the nation in the early 2000s and everything.
I believe they're one of the biggest, highest-grossing touring bands.
They are. And you know what? As a little fun fact, I had an opportunity to audition for the local Trans-Siberian Orchestra cover band in the tri-state area, 1224. Our uncle is friends with the bassist, I believe, and they were looking for a keyboardist back in 2010. And he gave them my contact information. They contacted me. And when they gave me all the info, I unfortunately had to turn it down because they start practicing in October, rightfully so. And it's in Pittston is actually where they practice. And I live nowhere near that area anymore. And there's people, like their violinist lives in Texas. They have people coming from all over the country that come up here for 3 months for the whole practice and the tour thing. And they have a good old time, you know, doing their thing. So that would have been a lot of fun. If you look at the keyboardist who's in there now, kind of looks like me anyway. you know, I'm looking at the keyboards. I'm like, man, I have such better equipment. But whatever. It is what it is. So I had the opportunity and I had to turn it down because I was afraid of traveling.
That'd be kind of fun to do something like that.
Oh, I would love it. I would absolutely love it. Playing Christmas music, even if for the couple months, my God. That'd be so much fun. I love playing in a band, as I'm sure you do as well. And, you know, I haven't been in one in a while now. I miss it. But, man, being able to play Christmas music, I did everything to try to get the band when I was with them to let's do a Trans-Siberian Orchestra song, but we never got to it.
Well, I know it's probably going to be over by the time this goes up, but I put out a poll on Twitter about some Christmas music. What's your worst favorite song or your worst song? So if the poll's over by the time you hear this, you could even just find that tweet or our Instagram, which are both at The Holiday Bros, and you could let us know what your worst Christmas song is, because I always think it's fun to see what people hate about some Christmas music.
Did you want to bring up a list of any that they were talking about, since this one is primarily music-based?
Yeah, sure. The ones that I had up there were The Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Now, Christmas. Were people telling you what they thought, or did you give them a list of stuff?
I just put up a list of four songs. And I wanted to get the votes on which one you thought was the worst. So out of those, my four choices on there were The Hippopotamus for Christmas, All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth, Christmas Shoes, and Dominic the Donkey.
Yeah, well, Christmas Shoes, David Mark will say that's my favorite.
I cannot stand that song.
I hate it too, but they'll tell you it's my favorite. But... Now,
thank God it doesn't get too much airplay anymore.
I know. I never hear it anymore, which is good.
I just heard it yesterday on my way home from work, and I just rolled down the windows and threw my shoes out the window.
Dude, do me a favor. You want to throw up? Go on YouTube and type in Christmas Shoes cover and look at it was a college project a kid did. And just do it. So to the fans out there, if you haven't realized, like I'm asking Charlie what the poll was. If you haven't realized, when the Holiday Bros post stuff, sometimes we don't communicate with each other. So sometimes it's Charlie posting stuff and other times it's me posting stuff.
And sometimes I post stuff and then you reply to people and they reply back and I don't even see it.
Yeah. So that too.
So that's what happens when you're managing an account from two different people from opposite or, you know, a few hours apart.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff happens. But go ahead and follow us on there. We're at The Holiday Bros on everything. You could email us, theholidaybros@gmail.com. And you could also go over to theholidaybros.com. You could leave some comments on there. Also leave a comment on iTunes, a rating, and a review. A review would be grateful.
Now, what's your absolute favorite worst song? I have to say, it's either, which I cannot believe, our sister-in-law Dorothy loves Christmas rapping. That has to be one of the worst.
That one is pretty gross, but if I had to listen to it, I would.
Oh, God,
Christmas
no.
Christmas Shoes. No, Christmas Shoes has to go.
I would take Christmas Shoes over Christmas Wrapping.
Oh, I'm going to go opposite on that one.
You wrap the Christmas Shoes and then...
Yeah, but did you ever listen to the words of Christmas Wrapping?
Yeah, it's horrible. I just hate the beat. I picture a bunch of people bouncing up and down.
Yeah, but also just picture old people thinking they're cool rapping. When she go, bah, humbug, that doot doot.
Yeah, it's like the Santa rap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's bad rapping. Like, it's bad.
Well, I hate that one, and I hate anything Beach Boys with Christmas goes right through me, too. Especially with the, he's the man with And it's just like, bop, and home, bop, the toys, bop, bop. God, you have no idea. Thank God that song is less than 2 minutes long.
Going back to Christmas rapping, though, do you think when they were recording it, they were like, oh, this part's going to be so bad. Oh, here we go. Oh, damn, guess what I forgot? They were probably just like high-fiving.
Wait, bad as in like, man, we're bad? Like we're,
yeah, because
like,
they got to work the word damn into a Christmas song.
I wouldn't.
That's really, you know, ghetto.
I can't stand it. Now, one song that I used to hate and then it grew on me, but now I'm kind of... I don't really listen to it anymore, and I think this is one that she hated as well, which is Happy Christmas, War is Over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just, what's her name? Singing at the end goes right through me, though.
Happy Christmas. Yep.
Yeah. Every once in a while, they'll cut that part out, but every so often when they play it, it's just so off-putting. You just hear,
oh, and I am sick of the boss. All of his music needs to stop.
And the funny thing is, like, every time that song comes on, I just picture, like, he thinks he's so funny. And then, like, when that guy sings ho, 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 he just can't keep it in. He just thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
Dave laughed at me because, and I'm being honest, I had no idea who Bruce Springsteen was, like, as little as, like, 5 years ago. I thought he was a black guy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at the beginning, he kind of.
Hey, Clarence, you've been rehearsing real hard now. Santa, oh, bring a new saxophone, right?
Not many, you guys in trouble out there.
Hey, you better watch out. You better not cry.
think about the end, though. Like, he's trying way too hard when the guy starts, like, saying ho, 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 like Santa.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely laughing.
Yeah, but he's, like, trying hard to laugh. Like, you could tell, like, he's, like, so over it, but, like, you could tell he's just trying to laugh.
Here's the thing, though. Is there any recording of this anywhere? Like, can I watch that exact thing live?
I always wondered where that was, and why is it? I've never seen it.
I don't think it's videotaped. I literally think it's only audio.
Yeah, it's from somewhere. It's definitely live, but... On a beach somewhere. I just picture it being, like, New Jersey on a beach somewhere.
Oh, God.
That's where he's from, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares?
Well, I guess that's going to about wrap it up for this TSO episode.
I don't think I'm done yet with these songs.
Well, we should do an episode dedicated. We could do something.
We could do even a mini one, but this month's going to really suck with finishing.
No, it doesn't have to be this month. So we'll have to after Christmas let it cool down for a little bit, so we don't.
You know, we might have that guest on then. That'd be a good, like, almost like a Christmas potpourri episode.
There you go. But yeah, there's so many little things I wanted to talk about during the Christmas season that I don't know if we're going to have time for it, like your favorite Christmas commercials.
God, if we could.
That's why I said.
Man, if I could do it, I'd pull off a podcast every night this month, the 25 podcast of Christmas.
That'd be great. Yeah, but that's what I'm thinking. I sent you that message earlier. We're going to maybe try to come up with a couple, like a top five Christmas commercials. Countdown.
Well, that's not... It's not really fair to the guests because I guarantee three of them are the same between you and I.
Hey, that's all right. I sent you the text message. You could see it. But yeah, so that you got all of our info. So I guess we're going to wrap up this episode.
I don't know. I never met the guy.
commercials. All right. Yeah. So for this episode of the Holiday Bros Podcast, my name's Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to bid you farewell and ho, ho, ho from the
Holiday Bros.